Our next guest has played for Scotland at both junior and ladies levels. She's been selected for the Curtis Cup in 2008, which was played at St Andrews. In that same year, the Curtis Cup, she won the Scottish Ladies Amateur Championship. Since then, in 2017, she finished second in the Hero Women's Indian Open and shot a course record of 64, which was 8 under. After finishing fourth in the Order of Merit of that same year, she secured her full LET card from the Access Tour. And in 2018, she won the silver and bronze medals in the European Championships. Welcome, Michelle Thompson.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me. That was a bit of a long introduction, wasn't it?
What an intro.
So, Michelle, how have you been getting on during lockdown? What have you been up to?
Not much, to be honest. It's pretty frustrating, I suppose, for everybody, especially, obviously, us golfers, with them not being able to open the golf courses, I think. But I've just been trying to keep busy, and Spencer's obviously been a lifesaver, obviously hosting his Trackman majors, and that's been great. You know, obviously it started with 4 of his Scottish boys, I think, and then it ended up being about 25 of us. So unfortunately I couldn't take part in the last one because I snapped my net, so I actually haven't hit balls for like 2 weeks now, so I'm dreading the start of golf. So yeah, we'll see how it goes, and I've just been trying to keep busy.
And with the net situation, I mean, I'm seeing where did you have the net set up? Was it a clothesline? Was it a towel and a clothesline, or what way had you?
Yeah, so I've lived in my house now for about 8 years, and I've got a washing line outside that's never been used. So obviously when lockdown started, I was looking at it thinking maybe I could like set up a golf net with that. So I just kind of cut a bit off of it and tied it from my fence to my garage, and then had a bed sheet kind of over the top, and it seemed to work, you know. And then everybody kind of started following suit, obviously realizing that that was the way forward. And then the more obviously lockdown kept going, I decided that I would buy a proper net.
I'm going to let Darren speak here because I know he's jumping at the bit to highlight some of the things that he's seen on Twitter.
No, I wouldn't say I'm that excited, but it is my favourite thing, though, like when people talk about their nets, I've got to bring up some of the stuff we've seen. To be fair, though, like the washing line one is genius, but a lot of people that do it are nae geniuses. And, I've seen many a shank, things that have skied over the nets and stuff, and it's usually built up areas it happens in. But where Paul Zeno is still my favourite. Like, I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't think hitting a driver at a brick ball is a good idea. I mean, I think Cameron's kind of shown us that he was just a couple of towels short of having the perfect setup, so he's kind of mastered it now. But I think the funniest thing about it is he'd been doing his speed sticks the whole way through lockdown. He got his swing speed up to like 139 miles an hour or something, and then decided to hit a driver into a brick wall. Yeah.
I'll definitely be looking forward to speak to him about it whenever he comes on. He's I think it's more the fact that I've seen his most recent tweet about the fact that he kind of put more towels over it. But he does have a good setup, so you have to give him credit for that. You have to give him credit for that. So, Michelle, you obviously live with Michaela. How's Michaela getting on with the situation? She's a key worker and a paramedic.
Yeah, she's getting on good. Obviously, it's hard work and it's draining for them all, I think. And obviously, being a paramedic, she's working kind of long shifts, like 12-hour shifts. And you know, doing her best, Julian. I think they're all exhausted, but we've just got to thank them and, you know, applaud their bravery to kind of go into work. And I've just got to do what I can here to kind of support her, and hopefully this will pass soon.
Are you in the same situation as me where you have to have dinner ready for whenever they come home?
I've got to have dinner ready. I've got to have the washing done, the dishes done. I've got to have everything, but it's the least I can do to help her out.
Yeah, no, definitely. Anyway, back to the golf. So, Michelle, how did you actually get into to golf, and when did you decide to turn professional?
So we actually moved to Ellen, and obviously we were not very far from the golf course. It was just a walk down the hill to nip onto the 12th hole, really. And my dad and obviously my brother played at the time, and I wasn't actually really that interested in it. Probably was about the time that Paul Laurie won the Open, I remember we used to go on caravan holidays and we'd be watching it in the caravan, like trying to get the aerial in the right place, you know, to to make sure that we could see the end. And I would have been about 11 at the time, and my dad and my brother were playing. I used to pull my dad's trolley around the golf course, you know, just to get out of the house. And I thought, oh, give us a shot. And so my dad's like looking at me like funny. And he dropped the ball and handed me like a 4-iron. And I'm like, okay. I hit this 4-iron. I've never hit a 4-iron as good probably since. And he was like, oh, I bet you can't do that again. And then he dropped another one and I hit it again. And he's like, gee whiz. He's like, maybe I'll get you a half set. So he got me like a half set of Howsons at the time. And then since then, every time I got my handicap down, he'd buy me the next club, you know, to add to my set. And that was how I started.
Nice.
So you were born natural?
I wouldn't say natural, but I'm not very technical. I've never really have been. And I kind of just play. I've played that way ever since I started, really. And that's kind of how I got into it.
That's a good thing, though. You know, if you're, there's a lot of different types of players, you know, some are feeling, some are very technical.
So at what point was it that you decided you were going to have a go at being professional?
So obviously in 2008, I was selected for the Curtis Cup. And then obviously the same year, I won the Scottish Ladies Amateur. And I was meant to go to America for uni. I went for one semester and then decided that I absolutely hated it. And then I came back and the last kind of decision was that I was just going to turn pro because I thought there's nothing else for me really to achieve in the amateur game. And that was when I thought I'm just going to turn pro and give it a go. And went to tour school that year and finished 31st. And the top 30 obviously get their card. Mm-hmm. Well, at that time it was top 30. And I finished 31st. But that pretty much... At that time, when I was like 30-odd tournaments or whatever, that got me into pretty much everything. So although I finished 31st, it wasn't the end of the world, really. And that kind of kick-started my career.
And whenever you finished 31st, I mean, did you go there and feel like you played well, or did you feel like you left a lot out there? Or
I did play really well, actually. And the amount of work that I put in before I went to that was unreal. You know, I try and work as hard as I can, but I feel like at that stage that was the hardest that I've ever worked. Just knowing that it was like my first attempt to try and go pro or whatever, because I think you're that young and you think, I don't know what else I'll do if I don't make it as a pro or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, probably at the time, I can't, maybe 19 or 20 I was. You know, and I look back at that now and think that's actually quite young. But when you look at the players now that are turning pro, you know, that they're even younger than that. But I probably think at that time I maybe was a bit premature at deciding to turn pro, and it was a bit young for me. But that was why I ended up, you know, quitting and having a break. But I needed that.
I think you definitely see that. You know, I think going back into that era, you know, I think a lot of people did turn pro a little bit older, and certainly over the last kind of 5 to 10 years, you're starting to see kids coming through that are turning pro very, very young. But it's impressive to see, you know, the ongoing development, you know, and the thing about yourself is you've gotten better since then, you know, and you keep getting better. So it's impressive to see that, you know, it's an ongoing development, and you can develop. The golf's one of the fortunate sports where you can play, you know, you can play well into your 30s and 40s, you know, and still be getting better.
Yeah. In my opinion. I definitely feel like now, you know, I'm 32 now, and I am probably getting to not to the end, but obviously there's a lot of people that are a lot younger than me. And I played a tournament in Australia at the start of the year, and I got to the tee, and I heard one of the guys saying, oh, Michelle's the granny of the group. And I was thinking, I'm 32? Like, almost punched him in the face. I was thinking that. That's such an insult. Like, I've never like felt like I was that old, you know, until he said I was playing with like a 17-year-old and like a 20-year-old, you know. But I just see myself as one of them, you know.
Thanks for that, Michelle. I'm 36. You've just kind of buried me in my coffin.
It's funny because I had one of my young golf clients was in the gym with me, and I'd literally just got new irons, and he's like, "Oh, you got new irons?" Like, my brother, I think he was 18. He's like, "So, what kind of shafts have you got? Are they super grandpa shafts?" And I was like, super grandpa shafts. Like, you remember who it is that's making your programs up, son? Because how can you believe it? Like, I'm 34, super grandpa shafts. Never heard of them like it. But yeah, aye. So, obviously, a professional golfer, so you do a lot of golf. But outside of golf, have you got any other interesting sports that you like to play or...
Yeah, I love football. Football's another passion of mine. I try and play. I did play for Montrose for a while, and then one of my other teams that I've got friends in are Grampian Ladies, and I just signed for, well, I signed for them before the kind of lockdown started, but everybody always tells me, oh, you need to watch what you're doing, you know, like, you're going to end up with an injury. And, like, I know that I probably will end up with an injury that time, but life's too short, I think, and I love it too much not to play it and not to watch it. So, and obviously Michaela's brother's a Cove Rangers, the Cove Rangers striker. So we love going to watch them as well.
What's your position? Are you a midfield dynamo or what do you?
No, I'm too old for midfield, so I have to be striker now.
So you must have a pretty good first touch.
Not bad. I wouldn't say it's amazing.
So you've said you support Cove. What Scottish football team do you support? Or is that a stupid question?
That's a stupid question. Aberdeen, obviously. 3-3 Aberdeen.
Yes.
I go to watch Cove more than I go to watch Aberdeen actually now. So just with family connections and stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it'll be good whenever the football teams get back as well. You know, it'll be strange to see whether or not the stadiums are going to be empty or whether you're going to get to go to see the games, or they're going to maybe what way they're going to get the ball rolling with it, if you know what I mean. Excuse the pun, but yeah, I think it's the same with every sport. I think there's a lack of sport on TV, and I think everyone, particularly the match, whenever it was on at the weekend with Tiger Woods and Tom Brady, I mean, it was fantastic to watch it, you know, and just have that kind of some sort of sport to watch.
Yeah, I think like I've even resulted in watching German football, and I'm not really into that, you know, but it's just something to watch, really.
Yeah. So you grew up in Ellen, is that right, Michelle?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know whether you've ever seen this ad of Rory McIlroy, but he always described how whenever he was a youngster, he always wanted to carry, there was a particular like little burn at a hole in Hollywood Golf Club. Did you have anything like that at Ellen? Did you have any kind of little things as a kid where you were like dying to hit the ball over a certain distance or achieve something on Ellen?
Yeah, so if you've obviously played Ellen before, the fourth hole has like a burn over the middle of the fairways, par five. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like the red tees are, I don't know, 80 yards in front of the men or whatever. Like, I know people are going to pick that up and be like, oh, it's off the reds. But But yeah, every time I started, I thought if I can get off to a good start and get to the fourth and then take my driver and hit it over, then that was, I kind of started thinking about the fourth before I even started my round, because that was where I wanted to get to and that was what I wanted to do. I always wanted to try and carry that burn. So even if I couldn't, I'd still try, you know, but, and then obviously the day that I managed to do it was probably the best day ever, you know.
I think it's one of those things as a kid growing up, I think everyone can relate to something, you know, on their home course where there's a particular ridge or a certain thing that they want to try and kind of hit the ball over. And as soon as they do it, it's like, you know, it's the greatest day ever. You know?
Yeah.
I played a lot of my golf when I was a kid at Hazelhead with my granda. And have you played the little 9-hole course at Hazelhead?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I have ever.
You haven't played it. So that was like, I mean, when I was, you know, like 8 years old or whatever, I was obviously rubbish. So that was where he would take me, so I didn't embarrass him on the golf course. But there's a couple of holes that go up and down on each other, and there's a road that goes through the middle, and that road takes you into the equestrian centre.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid, the longer the two par fours coming back up the hill, the road was almost within reach. And I remember that was my thing. I wanted to go over this road. And the first time that I absolutely flushed the driver at it, I was like, oh, it's going, it's going. And a Range Rover pulled out of the equestrian centre and its headlight just exploded. and my ball ended up back on the other side of the road. So I was absolutely raging. Like, I thought I'd done it. And then this bloody Range Rover cool dude and stopped it.
Darren, when was this? Because I still struggle to carry it over that road up the hill.
It was a while back, like before I got my grandpa shaft. So I was probably about 12, something like that, maybe.
I think I maybe need to get my shafts looked at because it's a fair hit up that hill to get over that road.
That's good, like, but yeah. Anyway, so the Northeast obviously got quite a good selection of good links courses. What's your favourite links course in the Northeast, Michelle?
My favourite links is Trump. I know obviously everybody's got their different views of Trump himself, but he does build unreal golf courses. So that is, I know it's probably not a true links. Mm-hmm. It's more of an American style links, but it used to be Marker, but Trump's overtaken it.
Oh, what happened there? What made you decide Trump's the new favorite?
I just think it's so good. You know, I find it very difficult to beat that. Mm-hmm. Just with the views and stuff that you can get as well from different tees and stuff like that. You know, it's obviously I used to work as a caddy there as well, so I just enjoy it. You know, it's a difficult test, and it's always in great nick as well.
I was always a pessimist. Because obviously there's so many good courses along the coast, you know, and I read the sign at the first tee, it was the greatest links and, you know, whatever the sign says. And I was always a pessimist. I just went up for a nosy about and thought, nah, it can't be, you know, it can't be better than some of the links that is down the road or up the road. And yeah, I played it and I was overwhelmed by the views and by the design of the holes and the shape of the holes. And it was phenomenal.
I think for me, there's a couple of things. Like, I mean, I'm like a links traditionalist and all this kind of stuff. But the weird thing about me when I played Trump was the paths between the holes. It was like pristine carpet. I couldn't believe. Like, someone told me, whether it's true or not, someone told me there's a guy that his job there is basically you have to look after these paths and make sure they're immaculate, like front to back the whole way through. It was amazing. It was like walking on a carpet. It was amazing. Like, yeah, the attention to detail.
I think but it's the simple things. You're right, it's the tees and the cart pass and things like that, as you say. You know, it's very, very well kept. And, but yeah, I mean, the strange thing that I found was whenever you're playing the course, you play one hole and it feels like you're the only person on the golf course because you can't see other people on the golf course. You know, it's very strange, very, mm-hmm. very unusual feeling.
I'm sure in the next few weeks it won't feel like that because there'll be hundreds of people trying to get on.
Us being one of them, I have my tee time booked and I cannot wait. So Michelle, 9-hole challenge. I'm not sure if you've listened to any of the other podcasts, but basically what we're going to do is we're going to ask you a few questions and depending on your answer, we're going to be grading them and we'll see how you get on in terms of the leaderboards. At the minute, we have Laura Murray topping the leaderboard and Keel Beveridge, who put in a phenomenal display. And then I think followed closely behind by Sean and Spencer, who okay. I want you to beat Spencer personally. But let's get the first.
My stories aren't as good as everybody else's, so I'm all right.
I reckon you'd be a dark horse, Michelle.
Yeah.
So first question, okay. What is your best and worst golf shot?
Okay, so I would say up until last year, I'm not sure what my best shot would have been, but I've gone with the Scottish Open last year at Renaissance. It was the first day I had a terrible day. I was like 4 over or whatever. And obviously with the LPGA players and the European Tour playing together, I knew that the second day I needed to put in a low score. So I started off quite steady and I get to the 7th, which is it's a par 5, but the way the Scottish is, it's not the same holes, they kind of do it. So I wouldn't know what the normal hole would be, but it's the 7th hole, par 5, and I've hit my drive just out to the right a little bit into the semi-rough, and I've got about 234 or something to the pin, and I thought, I need to birdie this because I need to get going here. I've hit this 3-wood, and it's kind of over a blind shot, so I never actually saw it. But when I hit it, I thought, me and my dad looked at each other and I thought, that's really good. It's going to be so good. Gets down there and it's like a foot from the hole, taps it in for eagle, and I'm 2 under after 7, thinking, right, I need 2 more birdies. So that was kind of a a good kickstart to my second day. Worst shot, I've hit a few of these, but I would say it's probably not at a certain golf course, but just in general, like when it happens, like people know that it happens. It's when you're on a par five, your playing partners have hit their second shot and you're waiting to hit your third, waiting to hit your second as well, but you're third to go. And you've gone, you guys walk ahead, I'm going to go for the green. And then obviously you hit a shot and you top it or whatever. I've hit a few of them that obviously don't go quite as planned.
I think that's a downside of being a long hitter, Michelle, that you have to kind of wait to everyone else kind of hit and you have to stand there and wait. That's a good sign though, to be fair. I'm going to give you a birdie for that, simply for the fact of for the eagle. I'm impressed with that. A 3 wood into a foot is pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Have you got any superstitions on the golf course?
I've got loads. But I'll tell you probably my worst but best one in probably your opinion. But my superstition is if I start the round with a jumper on, and I've started off the round well, like if it's absolutely scorching, like I still won't take my jumper off because I'm scared to take it off in case I then don't play so well. So I'll leave it on. Even with waterproof bottoms, I'll do the same. Like I'll never wear trousers. I always wear shorts. So when it is cold, I'll put my waterproofs on, and if it gets hot, I won't take them off.
See now, I also do this, but not because, oh, I've started like really well, I better keep my jumper on. I don't know, even if it's raining when I start a round and then the sun comes out two holes in, like I'm there, no retreat, no surrender. The water, I'm staying the way I was when I started. And it's not because I'm going to play better. I'm going to give you a birdie just because we are aligned.
2 under 3-2, Michelle.
Pretty impressive. It's a great start.
Yeah. So, Michelle, what's the funniest thing you've ever seen on the golf course?
So I don't have a funniest thing. I've got one that's actually like funny on the golf course. Like she won't say now that it's funny because at the time it wasn't great, but I'm going to go with this one. So me and Kelsey McDonald are up at Nairn. It's her home course, Nairn and Barr, and we're playing a practice round for the North of Scotland juniors or whatever. It was way back, so we'd have been like 15. And we've gone out late in the afternoon, so we've asked the guy if we can borrow a buggy. And obviously, Kelsey being a member or whatever, they've just said, yeah, go ahead. So we've gone out onto the golf course and I'm driving. And being a psycho, I've decided that I'm just going to go really fast. And I've gone like up this hill and decided that I'll stop. So Kelsey's then hit her shot, got back into the cart, and I've reversed down the hill and done like a 360. Kelsey's fell out. Just fell straight out the buggy, landed on her arm, and she's like in absolute agony. And I've gone, oh my God, like, oh my God, like what have I done? Like I've injured her. She's like, wait to play this tournament, an important tournament on our home course. And she was fine and ended up winning the tournament. So that was probably the funniest thing, looking back, but not at the time.
I think just for the fact that you've obviously got the driving skills of like,
you know,
I would say probably more a bodyguard, you know, for doing the kind of 3-degree turn and being able to kind of take off down a hill. Yeah, I think that's pretty impressive. I'm going to go for a birdie. Because of the fact that Kelsey won the tournament, I think that's even better. It was obviously good luck for her that she fell out of the book.
I also like the fact that you brought on that story of saying, obviously, because I'm a psycho.
driver.
What is your favourite hole in the Northeast?
I'm going to go with number 18 at Trump. Just if you go to the back tee, the black tee at the back, and look down with all the bunkers there, I think there's 18 bunkers maybe on that hole. And you can kind of look over Aberdeen Beach and the clubhouse at Trump and stuff, and you see the massive Scottish flag. I just think that's one of the best views that we've got in Aberdeen.
Many a Facebook profile photo.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, you've got one, David. I've got one. Like, I think I've only recently changed it as well. But yeah, it is a good hole. It's one of these things as well. When you're up there, you're like, oof, I might have to take a bit off of this one. Those bunkers are looking quite tasty. And you end up like 150 yards short of the bunkers. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, that was never.
I went into the wind there.
Exactly. I'm going to give you a birdie. Just because me and David also like that hole. Because we've got our little profile pictures up there.
I didn't appreciate how long it was. I mean, the first time I ever played it, I played off the very back tees. Mm-hmm. And my tee shot got to, there's like a little lake on the left-hand side. And I can't remember if it was downwind, into the wind or whatever. But I remember getting to the lake bit. And it was kind of in a little slither of fairway between the lake and the bunker. And I remember looking and thinking, right, I wonder if I could maybe try and get it up near the front of the green. I was like 400 and something yards out. And I was thinking, even from a third shot, I think I had like a 5-iron. I was like, I couldn't get over the sheer length of it.
It's when you bushnell the hole for your second shot and you think it doesn't pick it up and you're like, oh, I'll just hit it.
There should be a little thing in the bushnell that comes up saying, you wish. So, Michelle, what would be your dream four ball and what course would you play with him?
Okay, so I've gone with Tiger Woods being one because obviously his comeback and what he's done in his career. Everybody knows, you don't really need to explain him, but I've gone for Serena Williams just because of how much of an athlete she is and phenomenal. Third person is Lewis Capaldi because I think he's absolutely hilarious. I just think 18 holes of him, it would just be class. And I've gone for, if he was still alive, I've gone for Robin Williams just so he could do his sketch about golf and waving the white flag for hope and stuff.
And what about you? Are you not going to play? Are you going to caddy for one of them?
Yeah, I'll just caddy because I just want to be there.
I think that would be a cracking four ball with Michelle Thompson on the bag. Can I caddy? Who would you caddy for?
Probably Robin Williams.
I think that would probably be the best person.
Just because, obviously one of my favourite films is Mrs. Doubtfire, and I just think, if he did his impressions, that would be hilarious.
Go ahead.
I've gone for King's Barnes as the golf course that we'd play.
That's a course I've never got to play, and I'm dying to get down to play it. I might have it on the bucket list for this year to try and kind of get out and experience it. It's meant to be one of the best in Scotland.
It's probably my favorite course ever. I know obviously St Andrews being nearby and everybody's obviously the history of golf or whatever, the home of golf and that, but King's Barnes is way up there.
Yeah. Did you watch the match too? Just what we were chatting about Tiger Woods, did you watch the match?
I did, yeah. I think I'll have a wee bet on him to win the next tournament, I think, because he played class.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant having the players mic'd up and a non-golf commentator commentating for once. Charles Barkley was quite entertaining, kind of listening to him.
I thought that when Tom Brady held that shot, it was hilarious. That was probably my favourite bit. I turned it off after that because I was like, oh, you can't beat that.
That was good.
I think the Tom Brady and that, I think that just speaks to so many more golfers than what they would normally see though. Like, oh, I'm just going to, I've topped it 20 feet. Or, it makes us feel a little bit better seeing that on TV as opposed to.
Well, I saw on, I think it was either Instagram or Twitter, that they put a compilation of his whole round on it. And it was just do I drop here or you're going to give me that, right? And it was pretty much everybody's round when they're playing with their mates.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I didn't score you. I'm going to give you a birdie just for the fact that you went with a bit of a variance there. I think having Tiger, Serena, Lewis Capaldi for the banter and Robin Williams for banter as well, I think it would be an epic four ball. So, and obviously King's Barnes. So yeah, definitely birdie.
We'll just play a five ball. If I forgot that it was only supposed to pick three people.
King's Barnes won't mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so question six. You win the Ladies Open Championship and then you come home to Aberdeen. How do you celebrate?
I don't know if it can be repeated, but I'd probably get very drunk and drink out the trophy somewhere. And I'd probably like to end up show the trophy off at Pittodrie or something. That would be
special.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good, I think. Obviously, being a lifelong Aberdeen fan, I think to be able to do it there. Yeah, that would be how I'd celebrate.
Just playing the Aberdeen card again, David. Just trying to get me to bump for an extra birdie here.
You're lucky.
I'm sure that deserves an eagle, to be fair.
Well, you're lucky it's not me grading you.
It's a 234 yard to 1 foot. I'm going to give you a birdie because you got Pittodrie in there as well. And because it annoys David.
You're turning into a soft touchdown.
I know. But it's okay. Money dawns.
Michelle, you're playing the tournament and there's a rain delay. How would you fill the time?
Well, I've actually got a good story about last year. So they played it wasn't a European Tour event, but it was Modest Golf put on a tournament in Ireland, Northern Ireland. And we were there and there was a rain delay in the morning. So we actually stayed above a pub there and there was a rain delay in the morning. And so then we decided that we would just go and get a juice in the pub in the morning. And like everybody knows, I take my dad pretty much everywhere. And he comes along to a lot of events. So we're like sitting in this pub with a packet of cards. And I take my dad everywhere and I still didn't know that he could do it. So my dad's like, give me the cards. So he takes the card and he starts doing all these card tricks with all the girls. There's like eight of us that were staying above this pub. So he starts doing all these card tricks. And I'm like, obviously my dad's my dad. I'm 32 and I never knew that my dad could do all these card tricks. So he starts like winding up all the girls, like all these tricks and saying this card's going to be my next card and blah, blah, blah. It was actually a good story to remember that he turned up and he was like a magician.
Has he taught you any tricks?
He taught me a few of the ones that he showed them, but I still can't do them. It's like, they end up being terrible. I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to be your card and it's not their card. So I passed on that.
I wish this was video content. I probably would have got you to try a card trick on us.
Yeah, no. Well, I tried it on a few of the girls, and some of the girls have like nothing between their ears. No offense. And they know as well. So I'm like standing there, and I obviously know this trick, and they're like, "Oh my god! Like I don't. How has he done that?" And you can see him doing it. You know what I mean? And they're
magic. It's magic.
I'm gonna give you a par. Just because of the fact of I'm still livid after the previous question, so I'm going to give you a par for that.
Right, I reckon this will be good. I reckon you've got some stories here. Have you ever played a prank on a fellow player or one of your friends when you've been away playing?
Yeah, I love pranks, but yes. I'll tell you the worst one I've ever done because to this day I still feel really bad. So it was when I was playing on the Access Tour and we're in Switzerland and I'm playing quite well, but I'm playing with a girl that's leading, so Kim Larratt's leading. We're coming down the last hole and I wasn't playing well the last day really, but I was still up there, but I didn't have a chance of winning. And I could see that she was like so nervous that I just thought like, I'm going to try and like relax her a little bit. So anyway, we've both hit our tee shots and I've had to hit a provisional because I was playing awful anyway. So I've hit my second ball is down by her ball. Like, so my provisional ball is down by her tee shot and I've found my first ball. So I said to her, like, go and throw me my provisional ball. So she's threw me this ball and I've looked at it and I've gone to her, that's not my ball. So obviously she's like, thinking, oh my god, I've just thrown her my ball, like I'm leading and I've just thrown her my ball. And then she's like onto her face, like dropped, she's like leading by two, and she'll be thinking, oh, I've thrown her my ball and I'm gonna be like
I could imagine standing and looking at her and the blood just draining from her face and the fear in her eyes.
Poor girl. She's thinking, I'm away to get a two-shot penalty for picking my ball up and throwing it to Michelle or whatever. So I've like, obviously, quick enough, I've gone, I'm only joking. She'd have seen her. Like, I think her heart was probably still going. And she was more nervous about the fact that I'd like just played this prank on her. But eventually, she's hit her second shot onto the green. It's a par five. She hit it on the green, and she's two-putted for birdie and ended up winning. And we still speak about that to this day. But I actually feel terrible because
that's a very brave move, Michelle, to do that.
I knew she was going to win, though. Like, do you know? I just wanted to kind of calm her down a little bit, but it probably backfired a little bit.
You put her through that and she went on to win. You're throwing players off of golf buggies and they go on and win. Like, there's maybe a method to this.
I just have to injure everybody.
I might jump out in front of your car the next time I've got a big competition.
No, please don't do that. Not my car.
I'm giving you a birdie for that.
So we've got one question left, Michelle. What's the score, Darren? What are we sitting at?
7 under.
Just for the lead.
You've got one more. So, Michelle, if you weren't a golfer, what would you be and why?
Okay, so obviously because I'd quit the game before and become a police officer, that would have been my first choice if I wasn't a golfer. But I'm going to say the boring answer, and I would have been a professional footballer, I think, just because I love the game so much. And I'm obviously not good enough to be a professional footballer, but that would be my dream.
Okay, so somebody else answered the same thing before, and I obviously remember that I'm marking this question. So who would you be playing for if you played professionally in Scotland?
Oh, in Scotland. If I say Aberdeen, I'm not getting a birdie. So.
Okay, we'll go for England then. We'll go for England. In the Premiership, who would you play for in the Premiership?
I'd play for Man United. But only if it was under Alec Ferguson, because he was my all-time favourite.
David?
I think I'm going to give you a birdie just because of the fact that it was Alec Ferguson. So I think I agree with you about Alec Ferguson. It's undeniable that he's been one of the greatest managers ever to kind of the Grace Aberdeen and Man United. So yeah, I'm going to have to give you a birdie. 8 under 3-9. You would take that, wouldn't you?
I would.
8 under.
That's best. That's top of the leaderboard, Michelle. So
is there a trophy for this?
Darren and I are going to have to. I think it's getting to that point now where there's too many listeners now. We can't just not present someone with something here. So, but we were hoping to have a back nine at some point. We've obviously having the 9-hole challenge, but we're hoping to kind of have it over a back nine as well. Give poor Paddy McKenna. We'll have to give poor Paddy McKenna a chance to come back on and go low.
Yeah. Have you had any bogeys yet for a rubbish story or not? Really?
Paddy McKenna. Paddy was fine. It was good fun, though.
But it's not about the score, and it's more about the fun, you know, and it's enjoyable kind of having discussions with yourself and all the guests that have been on before. And, you know, I think everybody's kind of missed the social interaction since lockdown, you know, so it's interesting to hear from the likes of yourself who has numerous stories from playing golf over the years and everyone else that has kind of been in the show, you know, and we value every single story that comes on, good or bad.
You know, though, it's all about the winning.
What are you going to do if someone comes on and shoots 9 under? Cameron Zenloff might come on and shoot 9 under.
Yeah, he's not getting 9 under just for his hitting it off the brick wall, though. That's
I don't know, we've ribbed him enough. Like, we need to be generous, I think.
I think it's a guaranteed eagle whenever he says, whenever that question comes up, what's your worst shot ever? I think that's a guaranteed eagle. Yeah. So the next part, Michelle, we're going to go into the quickfire round. And we're just going to ask you quick questions. We're not expecting explanations or any of the rest. If you want to give us an explanation, you're fully entitled to. But I'm going to get the ball off and rolling. And I'm going to start by saying, would you rather shank it or miss a tap-in?
Miss a tap-in.
Buggy or walk for 18 holes?
I love a buggy, but I'd walk.
Okay. Would you rather drink water or a sports drink?
Sports drink.
Windy or still conditions?
Competitive play, windy. Normal play, still.
Okay. My favourite question. Wooden tea or castle tea?
Every time I've listened to the podcast, everyone's ribbed you for this. it's got to be wooden tea.
The gym or the couch?
During lockdown, obviously couch, but normally gym.
Okay. Would you rather use blades or cavities?
I'm not good enough for blades, so cavity.
A stinger or stratosphere ball?
Stinger, all day.
Yes. Classic Lynx. Fruit or energy bar?
Fruit.
White trousers or shorts?
Shorts.
Not many people have said white trousers.
I have worn white trousers a couple of times. I think females can maybe pull them off a bit better than the males, but
Shorts is the correct answer.
Yeah.
Chip or putt?
Putt.
Layup or all out?
All out, all the time.
On yourself.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore or Tin Cup?
Happy Gilmore.
It's unanimous.
Your head, because I listened to the other podcasts and you were, I think Sean said Happy Gilmore, so yeah.
Yeah, Paddy McKenna and I are on our own EO whenever it comes to Tin Cup, but you know what? I'll stand by Paddy every step. So listen, Michelle, thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate you taking the time to answer the questions and get a chat with you and catch up. So and obviously with courses opening that, you know, we're looking forward to seeing you back out there and getting back out and playing competitive golf, you know. So yeah, all the best for the rest of this year and moving into next year as well.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you probably soon.
You too. Right, we'll speak to you soon, okay?
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.